This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Talk. I am your host, Evangelist Lolita Jones. Yes, we are still on our consecration. This is our fifth week. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for strengthening his people. We thank God for allowing us to come boldly before his throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. And I don't know about you, but we need him more now than we have ever needed him in our lives. All you got to do is look around you. All you got to do is just tune into the news of at least 5 minutes. All you have to do is just stand still and just listen to the people around you mumbling, grumbling, and complaining. But yet God is still good. His mercy endured forever. And we have a speaker on tonight. Yes, we do. Get your Bibles, grab your notebooks, your pens, your pencils, and get ready to receive a word from our mighty God. Who is our speaker tonight? She is the supervisor of Virginia 4th Jurisdiction of the Church of God in Christ. Oh, she's a mighty woman of God. She's wise in all that she does. We thank God for the supervisor of women, Dr. Sherry D. Johnson. Come on, get ready. Get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Thank you, Evangelist Lolita Jones and the Life Changers Ministry. It is so good to be able to greet my brothers and sisters all over, from wherever you're listening. It's good to be able to talk to you tonight out of the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to speak to these precious hearts. We thank you, Lord, because you are leading us and you're guiding us, that you're blessing us, God, with life, health, and strength, with food, shelter, and clothing. We thank you for the mind to seek and to serve you. Keep us, Lord, in your wisdom. As we go into your word on tonight, speak to us, Lord, out of your word. If you speak to us, we'll hear you and follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I would like to talk to you tonight on a topic entitled The Making of a Disciple. The Making of a Disciple. We think about the disciples in the Bible and how people say that they are a disciple, but we want to look at what does it take to make a disciple. Jesus, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gave them the Great Commission, in which he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus was given this great assignment, this great task to his disciples. And he had made disciples by that time, but they weren't always disciples. So let's look at a disciple. A disciple is one who follows Jesus, who follows and listens and does their best to follow his teachings. We're living in a day today where People want to say that they are believers. And a believer is one who believes that Jesus was born, that he lived, and that he died on the cross, and he rose again. And even they believe that he's coming back again. But that does not quite make a disciple. They believe in Jesus, but they're not yet at the state where they are a disciple. So we have the task. When I say we, I mean those of us who are more mature in the Lord, those of us who have been serving God a long time and being taught and following in Jesus' footsteps. We have a challenge. We have a task in making disciples, helping to make disciples. We have those people who need to be walking and talking in the things of God. There are three characteristics that I want to say about a disciple. A disciple follows Jesus. It's one thing to know what Jesus said, but it's another thing to actually do it for yourself, that you actually apply it to your life. Sometimes people can quote the scriptures, but they don't live by the scriptures. But as a disciple, live by the scriptures, follow Jesus. A disciple goes through a change. When Jesus comes into our lives, when Jesus is allowed to be in control and we follow after him, his will and his way, that brings about a change in our lives. We change in the way we think. We change in the way we walk, in the way we talk, because we're no longer the living in our flesh or after the flesh, but we're walking after the Spirit. Once we allow him to have control, there is going to be a change. Sometimes people feel like somebody's going to make them change, make them do right, you can't make people do right. People have to want to do right. And when you have Jesus on the inside, then you will find that your desires change. So a characteristic of a disciple is that they have a changed heart. They have a changed mind. Another thing, we are committed as disciples, we are committed to the mission of Jesus. We're committed to bringing others to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're committed to making disciples, helping other people to get to the point where they're walking in the way that Jesus would have them to walk. So we're talking tonight about the making of a disciple, moving people from just being at the level of being a believer to becoming an actual disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Becoming a disciple is a process. It does not happen overnight. It calls for certain things to go on in a person's life before they get to the level of being a disciple. The scripture, Jesus said, for to them to teach the people, to teach them. He said, what? In the 20th verse, it says, teaching them. You bring people to him. But then you have to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatsoever I have commanded you. So in order to teach, they have to know. The teacher cannot teach what they do not know. So in order to, for the disciples that Jesus had to with him to teach, he had to teach them something while they were with him in his 3 years of ministry on the earth. They had to learn from him. And when you're talking about learning and teaching, there are different ways that a teacher teaches. A teacher teaches by talking, just like I'm teaching tonight by talking to you. But if I had given you something to read or give you a book that for you to go back and read, that's a way of teaching you as well. So I can talk to you. I can give you something to read. Those are ways of teaching. But then there's another way of teaching in which the teacher demonstrates what they are trying to get the learner to learn. They show them how to do it. Different people learn differently. Some people are good at comprehending when they read. Some people are good at comprehending when people are talking to them and have talked to them for a length of time. But others learn when they can see you do what it is you're asking them to do. So Jesus taught them. He talked to them, and he showed them by demonstrating different aspects, different things as he was teaching them. And then not only that, the disciples had the opportunity to practice, put into practice what they were seeing Jesus do and helping Jesus to do, to perform the miracles that he did. They were able to help Jesus. So while they were helping Jesus, they were also learning. So Jesus went through a process of teaching his disciples, and his disciples went through a process of learning to become disciples. When Jesus was teaching the multitudes, he had taught all day, and it was the night was coming, and the disciples were saying that, Jesus, why don't we just send these people home so they can get home and go home and eat, because they've been here all day. And Jesus said, no, let them have a seat and sit down, and we'll feed them. We will feed them here. And the disciples said, we don't have food like that. We don't have that much food to feed 5,000 men, and men and women and children besides. We don't have that kind of food. But Jesus said, well, what do you have? What is it? What food is around? What food is available? And they found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And that 5 loaves and 2 fish Jesus used to demonstrate the power, the anointing that he had, the principle of multiplication. He was able to train them and teach them. And out of that, the disciples just saw the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And in their own minds, that was not going to be sufficient. But Jesus knew his capabilities. He knew what could happen with that food in his hand. And he prayed. And when he prayed, he told them to begin serving the people. The disciples learned different lessons from this demonstration. They learned, first of all, the compassion that Jesus had for people. He didn't send them away hungry, but wanted to feed them. He was looking out for the people. He was concerned about the people. And that was one thing that the disciples needed to learn, that if they were going to be ministering to people, that they needed to be concerned about the people they were ministering to. They learned that Jesus could multiply, could take a little and make more, to take a little and turn it into much. And so that helps us as disciples when we don't have quite enough for what we need. When we have a mission to fulfill and we don't have quite enough money, we don't have quite enough in supply, we know that our God is in control. Our God is in the business of multiplying. Our God can take whatever we have and make it stretch, make it go, make it be what we need. And so we can have confidence in knowing that he will supply all of our needs. God takes the small and makes great things with it. Jesus was concerned about the people, and the people were able to eat and were satisfied. They ate spiritually from his teaching during the day, and then he fed them naturally. That was another way that the disciples learned from Jesus, by participating in that particular miracle of the five loaves and two fish. Another time, the disciples learned by putting into practice what they saw Jesus do. Jesus was casting out devils and healing the sick. And in Mark, we find out that that the disciples were trying to cast the devil out of a child, and they were not able to do so. And when the father brought the child to Jesus and asked Jesus to take care of his son and cast the devil out, he did that. And the disciples said, "Well, why is it we couldn't do it? Why is it that we did not have that victory, have that success?" But then, because of them trying to do something that they saw Jesus do and were not successful, they were able to learn another lesson. And this lesson that they learned is, it doesn't matter how much you know, there is something else that has to go on in your life as a disciple. You have to fast. And you have to pray. You have to have a prayer life. You have to have a life that causes you to be closer to God. And so because the disciples weren't as prayed up as they needed to be, they did not get the victory. They were not victorious in what they were trying to do. So just as the disciples had learned that lesson, those disciples, we also, as followers of Jesus, we have to learn those same kinds of lessons because we are followers of Jesus. We have to know that we need a prayer life. We need to fast. We need to get close to God. We need to read his word. We need to listen to the men and women of God who God has called to teach his people. We need to watch our leaders. We don't need to observe lightly, but we need to walk closely with our leaders. We need to see what they're doing and how they're doing it. And as we observe, then we'll know how to do it when it gets to be our turn to practice or our turn to work on that type of problem. So we have to practice. And when we practice prayerfully, we can go to our teachers, go to our leaders, and say, well, I wasn't quite as successful doing this as you were. What is it I should do differently? Hopefully we could get feedback. We should solicit the feedback of our leaders so that we can grow, because we grow from day to day, from experience to experience. Becoming a disciple is a process. So people start off as believing. They believe in Jesus, but that's not enough. They need to keep on getting closer and closer and listening and watching and practicing until they become the disciples that God wants them to become. You want to be more like Jesus. You want to become rooted and grounded in the Word, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I want to be more like Jesus. I think of the song that we sing sometimes that says, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one of his disciples. I want to walk in the newness of life. So let me be a follower of Christ. We have to, first of all, on the inside, want to be a follower. We have to want to be one who will follow in his footsteps. And we need to want to be, because it's going to cost something. It's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to take something on our part to be able to do it. And if we're not wanting it bad enough, we're not going to want to go through what we have to go through. We have to be willing to deny ourselves, be willing to deny what we want, what our flesh wants, and put that aside and do things the way that Jesus would have done it, or the way he says. Our enemies, we have a tendency to want to treat our enemies like our enemies treat us. But we can't do that. If we're really a follower of Christ, we have to do it like Jesus said. He said to love your enemies, to do good to them who despitefully use you. So Jesus didn't handle things the same way that men in the flesh did. When we want to be like Jesus, we have to let go and let Jesus do the leading in our life. We have to let go. We have to decide within ourselves that just because this is what I want to do, I'm not just going to go by that. I'm going to see what the Lord would have me to do. And as I seek him, as I pray, and as I take the wise counsel of my leaders, then I'll know that I need to let go and let God. You must be willing to embrace suffering and to follow him. We have to pick up our cross and follow him. Follow him doing his will. You must be willing to make sacrifices, self-sacrifices, not put your will out there, but put your will in the background. What did Jesus want me to do? And that's what I do first. What does the work of the Lord require? It takes those of us who are disciples, we want to see the work of the Lord go forth. We want to see God's will be done. We want to see souls come to Christ. We want to see people lifted up where they are torn down. And because of that, we might have to sacrifice our time. We might have to sacrifice our easy way of living to help someone else to be able to live. We might have to make some sacrifices on our end. We lose ourselves. And when we lose ourselves, we can find ourselves in him. When we lose who we are in the natural and pick up the things of Jesus, then we can see ourselves in him, and he can see himself in us. And then when we are disciples, we will accept discipline. We will accept correction, for we know that we want to do it right. We want to do what the Lord would have us to do. In the little song I talked about, there's part of the chorus that says, what do I have to do? What do I have to say? How do I have to walk each and every day? Tell me, what does it cost to carry the cross? I want to be a follower of Christ. We want Jesus to tell us what we have to do. Even though we maybe have been serving a long time, we still want God to search our hearts. We want our hearts to be searched by him. Because if there's something there that shouldn't be, we wanted him to take it out, or to help us to get it out. We want that is in our hearts that's not like him. We don't want that to stay there, because we want to be the kind of disciple that Jesus would have us to be. We want to be able to do those things that Jesus would have us to do, for we are the agents in the earth. We are the people who get things done for God in the earth. But we can't do it if we're weak. We can't do it if we are timid, scared. We can't do it if we don't sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed in order for the way to be made. We want to be followers of Christ. We want to be good disciples. But not only do we want to be good disciples, we want to help make disciples. As Jesus told the disciples, go and teach. Go and teach. Go train. Help others. Yes, we need to introduce them to Jesus. We need to let them know that once they receive him as their personal Savior, that Jesus is in their hearts. But we can't leave it right there. There are a lot of things that we need to teach that newborn babe. There are a lot of things that we need to teach that saint who has been around for a while, but there's still more to learn. So we must be teachers, but then we must be learners as well, for we're teaching and we're learning all the time. The making of a disciple. We want to learn. We want to be followers of Christ. We want to be one of his disciples. We want to walk in the newness of life. Let me be a follower of Christ. If I'm the kind of follower that I need to be, I need him to let me know. I need his teachers to let me know what I have to do, what I have to say, how I need to walk. Sometimes you think you're doing it right, but there could be a more perfect way, a better way to do it. And someone who's been around for a while can give you some advice, give you some tips to let you know how you can do a thing more effectively. Tell me, what does it cost to carry the cross? I want to be a follower of Christ. Father, we thank you for this time and this hour. We thank you for the opportunity to know that we can be disciples. It's one thing to be a follower, a believer. It's one thing to be a believer, but it's another thing to be a disciple. A disciple actually puts your words, your commands, your desires into practice in their life. Help us, Lord. Help us to live the way that you would have us to live. Help us to serve the way you would have us to serve. Lead us, God, and we'll follow after you. And those, O God, who do not know you as their personal Savior, we pray, O God, that you will save them, that you will give them to know that you've provided a way already that they can have a right to the tree of life. Oh God, forgive us of any sins or for any shortcomings, any disobedience that we may have experienced in our lives. Oh God, forgive us, God, for we want to be what you would have us to be. Mold us and make us after your own will. Oh God, bless those who receive you. And once they receive you, help them to find a teacher, someone to help them move to the next level, to get to know you better, towards becoming a true disciple. Keep us, Lord, in your wisdom, and we'll give you all glory and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Did you enjoy that word? What will it take for you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? I know that we say we saved and sanctified, but are you really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to go and to study at his feet, to study through God, Holy Spirit? Let him be your teacher and teach you how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be fishers of all men. We thank God for Dr. Sherry D. Johnson that shared nuggets of wisdom on this evening. We thank God for her. Ooh, that's a mighty word. That's a mighty word. Talking about disciples. Disciples. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank God for that word. And I thank God for you, and you that have tuned in to Faith Talk. I am your host, Evangelist Lolita Jones, and this is sponsored by Life Changers Ministry. Yes, we are on a 30-day consecration. Why don't you join us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., tomorrow evening at 6 p.m.? Yes, we will be in prayer tomorrow morning, and a mighty word will be coming on tomorrow evening by Evangelist Lisa Jean. Yes, a mighty anointed woman of God. Yes, Lord, I am expecting miracles. I don't know what you expecting, but I know the Lord gave me as a theme this year, raise your expectation. Raise your expectation, and I am expecting those God super on my natural. Hallelujah. I'm expecting God to turn things in my favor, to turn things around in the lives of my children, the lives of the seed of the righteous. I am expecting God to go above and beyond. Yes, I am. Raise your expectation. And until tomorrow morning, continue to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. God bless you.